There has been anger from victims and unionist politicians about the display of items in a Republican museum in Belfast. Some of the exhibits at the Roddy McCauley Society include a soldier's rifle found near the site of the IRA bombing at Narrowwater and a pair of Colonel Gaddafi's shoes. The society has had funding of £1 million agreed in principle from Belfast City Council. Now, the Nolan Show can reveal this morning that the soldier's rifle has now been confiscated by the police. In a statement they told us on Friday the 3rd of January, police attended the social club and engaged with representatives of the museum. Following assessment, we are now in possession of this artefact and further inquiries are being progressed. Now, Jonathan Ganash was injured in the IRA's Dockland bombing in 1996. I spoke to Jonathan and asked for his reaction to the funding earmarked for the proposed museum.
Well, to be sincere, Vinny, I'm very concerned that the DVA offices in London have had a number of emails and telephone calls and victims, not just from victims of the Troubles, but from other terrorist atrocities. And we're extremely concerned. And to be sincere, we find it extremely offensive, say the least.
Some will make the argument that history is history and we can't change that. And by keeping artefacts, for example, that remind us, or maybe even some would make the argument, educate us as to what happened in the past, is simply that.
We have to be very careful in the future. Terrorism is wrong. This museum, the Roddy McCauley Society, they're advertising a gun, and they're also advertising these slippers belonging to Gaddafi. These items, which I find macabre, I feel glorify terrorism. And to be sincere, does that mean 10 years or 15 years' time or 20 years' time, you're going to advertise the knife that cut off the very decent man, Alan Henning, when they decapitated him in Syria? Does that mean you're going to advertise the knife that cut off his head? I'm sorry. And to be sincere, Vinny, I'm not too sure regarding the legal ownership of that rifle they're allegedly going to advertise. I'm sorry. I mean that they might not even have any rights to actually. I mean, how did you obtain a rifle? Was that rifle allegedly that was found in the incident of the Narrowwater attack in 1979,
yeah,
where 18 soldiers lost their lives?
Yeah, a British Army rifle.
That's right. Where 18 people lost their lives. I mean, to be sincere, I mean, I find it abhorrent that you would advertise this rifle. I find it abhorrent that you advertise Gaddafi slippers. I'm sorry, Vinny. This has been confirmed within the media. Many victims in Northern Ireland, as well as mainland UK, have actually committed suicide. And this, and advertising these items, I mean, this is not 200 years into the future. This is now. Victims have actually committed suicide. I've actually spent yesterday morning counselling a victim who was so distressed by the articles that appeared in the media, it brought the memories back to the person.
And of course, we've mentioned that you are from the Docklands Victims Association and you represent victims of the IRA's Docklands bombing. And of course, you were injured yourself in that. That used explosives provided by Gaddafi's Libya, which also, I guess, adds to the insult for you and this. What will other victims say about this particular example of these artefacts?
Well, as I said, as I like to reiterate, the victims in Docklands are very concerned because it's brought back terrible memories. But it's also brought back terrible memories for the people in Northern Ireland too. I mean, this is something that should not be glorified, and it should not be promoted in any way. And I can understand artefacts. I mean, with all due respect to you, Vinny, with all due respect, we're not talking about Charlie Chaplin's cane or Lauren Hardy's hat.
Yeah.
We're talking about a weapon that was taken as a trophy. I'm sorry. Let's be quite frank here. These items were taken as a trophy. And the slippers was presented to a gentleman called Joe Cahill, and actually he was given the slippers to reward him for the wonderful work he was doing in receiving the Samtex and weaponry that cost countless lives. And don't get me wrong, we condemn all acts of terrorism, be it from the UVF or IRA or paramilitary. Yeah. To not be promoted in this way.
Just to put this into more context, remind us of that IRA attack in London and what happened.
Well, to be sincere, it was perhaps the worst moment of my life. It was Friday, the 9th of February, 1996. My two dear friends were killed, Ilham and John Jeffries, and the IRA used Gaddafi Samtex and actually obliterated the area. Two people lost their lives. One gentleman, Zari Berzak, was left permanent brain damaged and blind. A lady called Barbara Osse, a toilet cleaner, she was also left blind and badly scarred in her face. And I was quite badly burned in the explosion as well. And there was over 100 people actually was injured there. So you can understand they were very concerned why somebody would advertise a pair of Gaddafi slippers.
Yeah.
Because they link that with a very negative image. And anybody would link that with a negative image. There's no people in the conflict in Northern Ireland. I don't think there's any heroes, only innocent victims on both sides.
Well, what I want to do this morning is trying to put into more context why, you know, exactly where you're coming from and how you feel when you read about this and you hear about this, which is why I'm asking you about that day and the attack that day. What happened? What do you actually remember?
Well, I can remember I was working as a part-time security officer. I was on duty. we didn't even realise there was a bomb there. But actually, believe it or not, there was a ceasefire at the time. In 1996, there was a ceasefire in place. And actually, the bomb was actually planted. The ceasefire ended at 6 o'clock. But actually, the bomb, which was a blue low-loader, was actually parked at 5:30. It was already in place at 5:30. And the bomb went off. And I was hit with a tremendous force, shrapnel, and the heat from the explosion burnt my arm and my back and my chest. There were people in very badly injured on the floor. The noise, Vinny, was so loud. You don't actually hear the noise. You see a flash of light going upwards. If you're very close to an explosion, you see a light going upwards. And as soon as I saw that light, a green, orangey light going upwards, I thought, something's gone very badly wrong here. And then you hear the noise, and the noise is so deafening, all the shrapnel coming towards you. I thought that night I had died. And God be my witness, I was praying to God to save my life. I said, please save me. I was very frightened. I was very scared. And I couldn't hear. And I remember looking around me, and I could see some of the people that I knew, Farid Berzak. He had a piece of shrapnel in his neck, and he was streaming. He was streaming out loud for his dad, and his dad was in the car. And we looked at his dad in the car, and I actually thought he was dead because his skull was so badly damaged. You could actually see his skull and the innards of his skull, and we all thought he was dead. And we didn't tell Farid this. Because he was on the floor worried about his poor dad. He had been blown out of the car. And Barbara Osse, it was a terrible night. It was a terrible, terrible night. And I think, you know, from my experience, I think we have to be very careful before we say we promote or endorse directly or indirectly any artifact that represents a terrible atrocity.
How did you feel when you were contacted by the newsletter to say that this museum, which has a pair of Gaddafi's shoes, had got public funding?
Well, to be sincere, Vinny, I actually initially thought it was a joke. I thought I even told the journalist, be very careful if you print this story, because I even said to Phil Bradfield, he's a senior journalist in the and newsletter, and I was concerned and could ask him, but I didn't really believe the story was true. However, it appeared later on it was true. That's how surprised I was that a museum advertising these type of of terrible, terrible, macabre instruments that represent to me terrible, terrible atrocities could actually receive £1 million in funding. I mean that money could have actually gone to people from the Troubles who are potentially could commit suicide due to PTSD.
Where,
I'm surprised.
Where do you think the line is when it comes to museum and artifacts from the past that are linked to terrorism? Do you believe any of that? Anything that's attached to an atrocity should be displayed for people to go and to view, not necessarily to endorse the history behind them, but purely to go and absorb the history from those items?
No, I to be sincere, this is my view, my personal view. I don't think items like that should be on display because it represents terrible atrocities that actually took place. It's not a positive image, it's a negative image.
And I'm thinking of other examples when it comes to artifacts that link between history and the past, you know, for example, Nazi memorabilia, things that link to the wars in the past that are very, in their very essence, are a very negative thing, but they represent what happened in the past, and some people believe they should be displayed for people to view.
No, well, some people may believe that, but I've actually been to Poland, I've been to Auschwitz. And actually, they have the victims, the Jewish victims, the countless people murdered in the concentration camps, and they have actually their shoes. And it's so poignant to me that when I went there, I saw their shoes, and it represented all. And if anything, it proved to me that we should do all we can to make sure it never happens again. However, I have I'm at a loss why we have the Daffy shoes and a rifle. Because to me, it promotes terrorism and the act, and there's no sensitivity here. I mean, you're absolutely right. They do actually, they have actually some occasionally they have, but they're very sensitive to these issues. And we're not talking 100 years on. We're not talking 100 years on, 400 years on, are we? We're talking victims. Their families are still here. Their family. I mean, the Narrow Water attack. Their families are still here. How do you think they feel?
Well, you're a victim yourself. You're still here. You lived through that. You have to live with the effects of that. And you are telling us directly on this program this morning, as you did the newsletter, that this is affecting you. It's affecting other people, even just to read about these items being on display.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can confirm this with the media. Some victims, I'm speaking to you today, but I'm very upset about it. And some victims, as you probably know, Vinny, from your experience, some victims are so afraid still, they suffer PTSD, they won't speak up. It takes a lot for a victim, such as me, to come on this show, and you've been very welcoming, and so is your producer, and I appreciate that, and you've been very sensitive to my needs. But we're victims, we're speaking up. But some victims do not speak up, but they contact DVA and they say, listen, we're not happy with this, we're very concerned. And we had one gentleman in Northern Ireland who was actually in tears when he rang our office. That he could not believe it either. So I'm sorry, Vinny, I've got to say this to you. Why can't these people think the sensitivity of what they're doing? Don't they have any ounce of humanity to think the people Gaddafi, IRA has affected? It could be the UVF, whatever paramilitary group it was. But don't they have a heart to think, hang on a minute, if we do this, it's going to hurt somebody.
What's your message as we finish this morning, Jonathan, to the council in terms of that money, the £1 million from the council and the councillors that would essentially have made that decision in the first place? Should they review it, for example?
Well, to be sincere, I think they should do more than review it. I would ask the councillors and the council itself to review their decision. Because it's affected countless victims, not just from the Troubles. We work with 7/7 and people from. We had a gentleman called 9/11. They were upset about it. I'm sorry to say this, but they did a terrible disservice to the innocent victims, not just of the Troubles, but to all victims everywhere, including Alan Henning. I'm sorry to say this to you, But will that museum advertise poor Jonathan Ball's teddy bear, the baby that was killed in Warrington? Will they put his teddy bear on display? I was given a watch when my friend in Ambassador was killed in a Docklands bomb. The family gave me his watch. And if you go online, you can see the watch that was given to me. But there's a trait that they gave that to me to remember my friend by, to remember my dear friend who I loved immensely. We were very good friends, me and him in Armwood. Very dear friends, and JJ. But that was given to me to remember him by. I've got, what do these slippers represent, and what does this rifle represent? And the council should review their decision, because it's not right. That money could be spent helping innocent victims who are potentially suicidal, with PTSD and other mental health issues, rather than glorifying, in my opinion, and other people's opinion, who have condemned DVA, terrorism.
Jonathan, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Vinny.
So what do you think? Should items linked to Colonel Gaddafi or a damaged British Army rifle be on display in a museum? Of course, we brought you that update this morning that the PSNI have since removed that rifle from the museum. £1 million agreed in principle from Belfast City Council. 03030805555. We have sent questions to the Roddy McCauley Society to give them an opportunity to respond to that interview, and also we tried several times this week to get a comment, but so far we have not received a response. The Society's website says that the museum project will allow us to preserve and tell the history of our community and West Belfast according to the people of the area. We also contacted Belfast City Council. They did not want to put anyone forward to talk on the programme, but they did send us a statement. In it, they referred to ring-fenced allocation of £1 million. They say it's been agreed in principle at this stage. They go on to say this does not constitute a final investment decision. As with all projects, these will be required to go through the council's three-stage approval process, and a committee will be kept up to date of their progress. All projects will be tested against the council's four investment abilities. This says feasibility, affordability, deliverability and sustainability, and this is for the development of a modern interpretive museum and existing grounds. Let's go to the phone. Sean, good morning to you.
Good morning, Finley.
What do you think?
Finley, I know the guy that was on with you was recorded. He's not there at the moment. Yes. My sympathy to him, he is a victim and he's hurting in this. But I would ask a question. If you're going to exclude this museum from showing any of this stuff, should we also ban the show of weaponry in the Imperial War Museum? You know, it's a museum. Its job is to educate, to let people see what happened, you know, what things are about. I seen the rifle before it went into the museum.
Yeah.
A friend of mine had it in his possession. He had to point out to me that it was a rifle. It's a mangled twist of metal. You know, it's not discernible as a rifle.
I did mention to Jonathan, in terms of other historical artifacts that were involved in terrible crimes, and he was keen to point out how fresh this is in his memory, his mind, and his body. I suppose he's still living with this. 1996 for him, so he feels that this is not so much historical. This is his present day, and that's one of the reasons he finds it so difficult.
Well, another thing he said there was that it glorifies terrorism. I've been in the museum. I've seen its artifacts. It's brilliant. Anybody should go and have a look. One of the things that struck me when he was saying that was on display is plastic bullets, rubber bullets, CS gas canisters, stuff that was used by the British Army and the RUC on our streets to kill people. It doesn't glorify the killing of our people. So why does he feel that the museum is in any way glorifying terrorism? It's educating people. That's what museums do.
Okay, Sean, thank you. Graham next. Good morning, Graham.
Hi, good morning, Vinny. Vinny, first of all, I would say that there are people out there who have sensitivities in relation to the subject. I understand that. And it is a very fresh subject for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you've got to view it several other ways, i.e. £1 million is a lot of money that could be spent elsewhere, yes. But could these items not be incorporated as another part of another display unit, part of the Ulster Museum, just in a wing or whatever? they can be displayed elsewhere. And my only other problem with them is that you have to display them, because if you don't display them and you don't teach this generation, we are doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past. Don't glorify these items. Don't interpret them. Just present them and let the people do make their own mind up and go and look at them. I've been in the Imperial War Museum, the Auschwitz-Birkenau, Hanoi Hilton, where there's still blood stains on the walls. None of these glorify death and torture or murder or anything else. They are just interpretive centres where you go and look at it and work it out for yourself.
One thing that I found intriguing to an extent, Graham, when we were reading through what the council had sent us, all projects will be tested against the council's four investment abilities. It doesn't mention suitability within that. Feasibility, affordability, deliverability, sustainability. Do you think the likes of suitability should be in there? Kind of gauge, something to measure what the money will end up doing, if it's housing something, supporting something?
No, I don't. I think, I mean, at the end of the day, the council is there to control taxpayers' money, and there has to be a financial return on that. If it's not financially returnable, they shouldn't be doing it, or if it's a minor loss. But if it's for the public interest, these things should be displayed, no matter how, you know, offensive they are to a very small minority. The majority of people not only have the right to see these things, but should see these things. As I say, if we don't see the past and we don't learn from the past, we're going to repeat it in the future.
Okay.
And we don't want to go down that path.
Graham, thank you. Daniel next. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Vinny. Vinny, I'd just like to say two things. First of all, right, see, when that fella from England comes on, I understand the hurt he's feeling, right? And without a doubt, he's been through a terrible thing, like a lot of people have, concerning the troubles of both sides with REC. But I'm going to say one thing here. Nobody cared the other day when it was shown on the news, the two young princes, Harry and William, in the 80s, 1980s, about 8 or 9 years of age, playing with their father, full combat gear, wearing parachute berets. Now, that wasn't even contemplated as that being offensive. But see, when people from West Belfast and people from Derry and other parts of Northern Ireland who were nationalists look at the parachute regiment beret, do you know what we see? We see the swastika. We see the Nazism. That's what we see. Now, the Protestants and Loyalists don't see that, because their families have family members who were in it, probably different regiments. But we see the British soldiers and the British regiments. That's what we see, because we were under siege in these communities from the British. We had nowhere to turn, but nobody to turn under the British. We were supposed to be our government. We were under siege from them. And we're under siege as well from the south of Ireland. Government who was
so, giving us no so what do you say to people like Jonathan Ganesh, who say this is still far too raw, it's still too difficult, and he finds it personally offensive?
I'm going to tell you what I say, Vin. I know that it is. It's another English person, again, only seeing their hurt, their pain. You know what the problem is? They still have a British Empire mentality. They don't care about the children murdered in Iraq. They don't care about the children murdered in Afghanistan. They don't care about Palestinians being tortured. And they didn't care about the kids and the men and women of West Belfast. Their own citizens being slaughtered here. And when the British Army realised they couldn't go in and slaughter the Catholics anymore, they went and armed the Loyalist death squads to do it. And then stood behind them and directed them to do it. And it's been proven. It's been proven. And I'm sick of English men and
women
doing
this. They would, of course, deny that.
No, they can't deny it.
Should there be a line drawn when it comes to showcasing artifacts?
No.
You know, are there any you would find offensive if people, if the council were funding something that with your taxpayers' money, is there anything you would find offensive that you wouldn't want that to go towards?
Well, if they want to go up to Glencairn, the UVF Museum used to be up there. I don't know if it's still there. Go up and see what artifacts they have in there, they used to have in there. You know what I mean? And then also, if they want to go up on the Newton Arch Road and start creating museums there, we don't care about it there, because that museum's only for their eyes. That museum's only for maybe a tourist getting off a cruise ship and wanting to come and see it. That's up to them. It doesn't offend us. We don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care. We don't want any Englishmen
the same museum, Daniel? Should we all be going to try and share in each other's past and history? It's all combined, it's all intertwined?
I've been in the Ulster Museum twice in my life. Once as a child through school, which was very boring, and a second time I went with my children to see what all the talk was about. You know what the Ulster Museum's for? It's like everything else. It's like just like a national lottery. It's elitism. It's a load of rubbish, mate. People want to talk about
I'm sure there'll be many that will disagree with you. Let me ask you this, because obviously we're talking about this particular place, the Roddy McCordy Society. You know, I was reading a newspaper.
I know the Roddy McCordy Society.
There was a newspaper article, and it says, while the society tells the story of the Troubles very much through a Republican prism, The collection also includes several loyalist items donated by ex-prisoners from other traditions who have visited as part of a peace process reconciliation initiative.
Well, that's all right. That's what the Rodies do. They're that type of people. They want to have peace between the two communities. I'm not having a dig here. The Protestants are loyalists. I'm only stating a fact. The Protestant loyalists know the truth. They know that the British Army went to Halley, brought them up in the Hollywood barracks and armed them and trained them. They know that. It's a fact. Now, the fact of the matter is that we don't care what goes on over in England in their museums or Scotland or Wales. We don't give a damn about that. But see, when we talk about history in this country here, we want the truth being told. That's what all the legacy citizens are about. That's why it's such a hotbed. People want the truth. And another thing about Gaddafi, I'm going to say this. See, when we as an isolated Roman Catholics in a wee small community had nowhere to turn, only people like Gaddafi could we turn to. I'm not saying he was a good guy.
And you understand how people, some will find that incredibly offensive. I'm sure Jonathan, for example, would do. And also, when you talk about history,
we had no history.
Well, he's just one person that just, he happens to be English. You know, there are people from here, obviously, that were. Yeah.
But I'm sick of these English men only.
And when it comes to history, you have to accept, I'm sure, that there are always different versions of history and people's interpretation can vary widely.
Yes. It's just a perception, but I'm talking about the version of history that's real in Northern Ireland. Only the Protestant and Catholic people can tell it. Nobody from England can tell what goes on here. See, but
how you refer to, you know, turning to people like Gaddafi in terms of almost for help. But then, what do you say to someone that was real, that maybe had someone blown away or really seriously injured as a result of that?
Innocent
reach out
people,
for help,
and even soldiers. Yeah. Nobody wanted to see it.
But what do you say to them, people? Then,
well, this is what I'm saying. Well, repeat what I said. When I was born in 1873, I was born into the Troubles like everybody else. I was born in an area called Ballymurphy, Springhill. We only knew one thing, was British soldiers and the RUC torturing people. That was it. Now, I was born just after the Springhill Massacre and Westrack Massacre, born 2 years after what happened on Bloody Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. We lived that every day. We've never stopped talking about that. That fueled us as children. And we only had one direction. We only wanted one thing, was the Brits to get out of Ireland. I didn't really give a damn about the United Ireland. I just wanted revenge on the British Army. That's
okay.
All it was. I hated them.
Daniel, thank you. Peter next. Good morning, Peter.
Well, what I'm saying about it all, no matter where you're from, Loyalist Republican, I wouldn't like to think you'd be able to go up to Shankill or Tiger's Bay and to have a museum and have anything that was used to kill people in the Troubles on show. And I mean, and in Dorset, there is a Republicans as well as the same. It should be in the past. Up in the past. Do you know what's wrong over here? Somebody else's truth, it's somebody else's lies. You know what I mean?
Peter, thank you. John next. John, good morning.
Sorry, I just found it very strange that four young people in North Belfast died last week of suicide and a drug problem arose in North West Belfast. The Belfast City Council could just fork out £1 million in a museum. When I put £1 million towards these centres to help drug addiction and help solving abuse.
Yeah, and again, the council say that's ring-fenced, that £1 million. So it's agreed in principle at this stage. They say this does not constitute a final investment decision. We're unusually, well, maybe it's not. I don't know how all these things work, but that decision was 2017. So I don't know how long this usually takes to come through, but at the moment, as far as we're aware, that's still where that is.
Well, I just hope that the lads' party, and the unionist councillors, the Greens, and everybody else, get together and stop this and remember the victims. What's next for the museum, Finney? A pair of trainers, a pair of tracksuit bows, a pair of gloves used by one of the Shankill bombers to blow up with any innocent people in the Shankill? Is that what's next?
Well, there's no suggestion of that. We've explained, as far as we're aware, what is in that particular museum. John, thank you. Brian, last call on this for now. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Look, I mean, people, I only heard the discussions last 15 minutes there. Museums, they tell history, and they tell bad history, and the bad history, when people see it, they say, I hope that doesn't happen again. My children growing up asked me things. I grew up with the Troubles in the Falls Road, brought up there, and I verbally tell them what happened. I tell the truth, because I've seen what happened. So, point being, Vinny, is museums are good. Because when children are brought to museums, they see things, especially here in Northern Ireland, and they weren't grown up, obviously they weren't born and so forth, but when they see things and read things, they say, well, 100% of them turn around and say, well, I hope that doesn't happen again. And the Rally McCarty Museum, it's not a big place, but it's telling the history of what happened here. And that's what you'll be told.
Brian, thank you.